And this morning, I just quickly want to share, just want to continue talking about Jesus. Hear, do, see. There's when someone passes away, then Lucy, the first thing she says is, they're going to see Jesus. And we will tell her, and then we are obviously, we're always a bit sad. And when we tell it to Lucy, it's my three-year-old, she just say, wow, Daddy, they're going to see Jesus. And you know what I'm going to do when I see Jesus? I'm just going to run into his arms. I'm just going to run, and I'm going to hug him. And I'm going to run to Jesus. And I realize that kingdom perspective is something that I don't have. It's not always in my mind. And it's so precious, little Lucy, three-year-old, she just said, she just want to run to Jesus. She's just getting excited when there's someone that's going to see Jesus. And I asked the boys during the week, I say, I just got such a new desire to see Jesus. But not only to see Jesus one day, just to see him here. And I asked him, I say, you guys, do you see the wind? I said, Daddy, we can't see the wind. I said, yes, but we can see the effects of the wind. And that's what we're going to see. We're going to see the effects of Jesus. We're going to see Jesus working in and through our lives, just as we draw closer to him. And this morning, I just quickly want to, first, I just want to share a few scriptures. I just started reading, because I've just got a desire to see Jesus. I decided I'm just going to take the Gospels and start with Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and just read from the start again, the birth of Jesus, go through when we read about John the Baptist, and then how Jesus came, and how he saw Jesus, how he looked at him at his coming, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God. And he was also always prophesying about Jesus. But it's so beautiful to me, when Jesus walked in there, in that setting, we were then in Jordan a few years ago, just at the place where Jesus got baptized, or what they say is the place. And it was just amazing to be there. But the amazing thing for me is when John, he saw Jesus and he said, wow, the Lamb of God takes away the sin of the world. And he recognized him. He immediately knew, this is Jesus. This is the one that I was preparing the way for. This is the one that's supposed to come. And he saw. As Pete shared, that intercession is his desire, just to know how Jesus looks, to really to be able to see where God is working and to recognize what he's doing in our lives. And I just want to first go back to when the angel told me, Luke 1 verse 30. And the angel said, behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And this morning, my prayer is that we will just, as we talk about Jesus, some of the scriptures we know, that it will just again reignite a kingdom perspective in our hearts. Something that I believe God just want to do. And especially for us, as we talk about the busyness, we had our fast and prayer, we were praying about our contribution and everything. And this is just the next step before we continue. In Luke 2 verse 10, the angel appearing to the shepherds and said, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And also the angel telling Joseph, says she will bear, talking about Mary, and says, she will bear a son. You shall call his name Jesus. He will save his people from their sins. He will save his people. This is the Jesus that came for all of us. The Jesus is working in us. And as I share scriptures, as I'm going to go through this, just want you to ask the Lord, show me something about you, Lord. Show me something about your glory. Show me something of you for me for today, for my present, my situation, where I'm staying, where I'm working, where I am between my friends and my family. And from there I said, when John saw Jesus, and then Jesus started talking and he started ministering to his disciples, and the Bible just speaks about the great crowd that started following Jesus because they saw the signs and they saw all the things that's happening, and they were just going with. And the end of Matthew 4, you see his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases, pains, those oppressed by demons, epileptics, paralytics, and he healed them, and great crowds followed him. So I just want to pick it up in Matthew 5, just the next verse, where Jesus is gathering his disciples. Later in Matthew 7, we'll see he was not always also only talking to his disciples. There was still a crowd around him. And he starts with the Beatitudes. And it's really, before we read it, these few sentences or verses, each one is really, there's a proclamation. There's a blessing. They say, oh, how wonderful. Oh, how happy. This is the commentaries talk about it's congratulations. If you are like this, you're going to see this. This is what you're going to see in the kingdom. So it's almost like if you're that kind of person, if that kind of thing is evident in your heart, congratulations. This is what you will see. And it's not only for one day. Some of them you will hear just now. Some of them said, for thou shall see the kingdom of God. Some of them also talks about the present, the kingdom of God, where we live, where we are right now. So there's the blessing, then there's the quality of life, or there's something that's evident in your life, and then there's the reason why you will be considered blessed. So Matthew 5 verse 1, seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain. When he sat down, his disciples came to him. He opened his mouth and taught them, blessed, congratulations are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And that poor in spirit, just talk about the humility, talks about we know God resists the proud, there's many verses about that, but a brokenness in spirit. And as I was just meditating and reading a bit about this, it is so evident that in our day and age, it's almost like the world want to show us a picture that you must not be helpless. You must be strong. You must manage everything. You must be in control. And Jesus almost came and he said, blessed are you. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are you when you experience that you surrender, that you are dependent upon the Lord, that you know your own limitations, that you know you can't save yourself. That's a blessing. Congratulations. For yours is the kingdom of God. When you see that, when you realize that. And I don't think it's on the slide, but Mark 2 verse 17 said, Jesus said, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. Jesus came for us, people like us. People that are spiritually, sometimes morally, sometimes physically, we struggle through life. We've got our issues that we work through. And once we realize that we need Jesus, then we're at a good place. And the word can come and say, congratulations. You're at a good place. The world will tell us, no, you must be strong. You must do everything on your own. And I still remember when we sometimes say, when we get saved or born again or decided to follow Jesus with all of my heart. But the thing that stood out for me, mentioned when I was on a sand dune somewhere along the south coast, and it just struck me, all my sins, all my stuff, that I can't save myself. I'm in a mess and things are not looking good. And then I just realized what Jesus has done for me. And as if my eyes just opened and I just responded towards Jesus. I still remember it after that. It was the first time I was able to share in a church, just saying that I decided to follow the Lord. Before that, sometimes I went up and people made invitations, give your heart to the Lord. I went up and I thought everybody's doing it in school, so you must just go along, and you're in that crowd, and you just go along and you tag along everywhere. But that day after matric, it just stood out. I still remember it. It was different, and I knew that I can't save myself. I need a savior. And still today, I'm so aware of that. I'm so thankful for the Lord for saving me, because there's a lot of stuff that's just messed up, and God gave, and He brought healing. And He just came and He saved my life. And we are on this process. And I pray that each one of us, that we can just experience Jesus coming and changing our lives. And let's continue. Blessed are those, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. When you have the desire to be righteous, when you have the desire to stand right before the Lord, the word comes and say, congratulations, it's good. It's a good place to be when you desire that. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. And see yourself in these beatitudes. See which one is true for you, and then receive that blessing. Receive what the Lord want to tell you this morning. Because often we just read through it, or I did, and you just go on to the other pieces of the Bible. You just quickly go through this. But it's really, the Lord is just saying congratulations. It's a blessing. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And the pure of heart is really talking about this new birth, where God comes and He does something new. When we decided to follow the Lord, something amazing, something beautiful. It's not saying that you must be perfect, but God has started the process of making us perfect, the process of holiness, the process of sanctification. And that's a good place to be, because we shall see God. We shall see God. Hebrews 12 verse 14. It's not on the slide. It said, pursue peace of all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Matthew 5 verse 9. I continue. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. This is not the guys just don't like conflict. The peacemakers are those people that is in peace with the Lord. They shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Theirs is the kingdom of God. Not they shall receive the kingdom of God. Theirs is the kingdom of God right here where they are. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For they shall persecute the prophets, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And when I read this, this is sometimes difficult to understand, that there's such a blessing in being persecuted. It's such a good thing to be persecuted, and when they persecute you for being righteous, for following the Lord. And when I went through this, this also talks to me about a kingdom perspective, where we realize that what we have now, this is temporary, but there's a kingdom perspective. There's something that the Lord is doing right now, but also this is temporary, and He's seeing this, what we are going through. He's seeing what's in our life. He see the trouble, He see the persecution, and then our reward will be great in heaven. And it will not go unnoticed. And I said to the Lord, You must just help me to get that kind of kingdom perspective, to live with that kind of thing where I understand the reward that's coming, the reward that's in heaven, is going to be amazing. To give us a taste of that, where we realize everything in comparison to that, it's not so difficult. Where you can rejoice in persecution, where you can go through difficult times, and it's okay. And after that piece, it is interesting that after the encouragement, after the congratulations and saying, blessed are you when this is happening and that, and when you experience this and when this is in your heart, then immediately the scripture goes on to where Jesus talk about the salt. Matthew 5:13, you are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. In those days, they mix the salt with other substances, and then later on it lost its flavor, then they just put it on the roads. They just use it for the roads. And that's what it's talking about. If the salt loses its flavor, then we're just going to trample upon it. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I've not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. And these are all radical things that Jesus was sharing there in the Sermon on the Mount with his disciples and with the crowd, everyone that just was just sitting there and following him. And I realize we talk about we're a blessing, and I know we are a blessing. It's really something that the Lord has showed me during this week, specifically for our church. Where we go, we will be a blessing. And again, yeah, we just see in the scripture, Jesus said, then you will be the salt. You are the light. Just be that. Where we go, we will bring a flavor of Jesus. Where we will go, we will bring light in darkness. Through that meekness. Through being merciful. Through all the other things. We will make a difference. It's almost like we will make a difference from just being who we are. Of what Jesus has made us, what Jesus is doing in our hearts. And that's encouraging, but it's also just a reminder of that is what must happen. And then the people will glory, they will bring glory to God. That's the result of that. They will give glory to your Father, because they will see the good works. They will see what's happening. And that's really... that's just my desire. For as I read the scriptures and everything, I say, Lord, show me, speak to me. And yesterday, I just sense a few things. There's a certain way in which I hear the Lord. If everyone, you will have a way. I will get a thought, and it's just different. It's just in a way that I know this is Jesus. Yeah, and if I look over my life, the places where that happened, those are things that happened later on. It came to pass, and through those experiences, I just started to learn how to hear the voice of God. So I want to encourage you to look for those specific ways that God is talking to you. Write it down. Don't do like I was once in a worship session. It was great, and I felt, yeah, the Lord is speaking to me. I start writing down, and then I look up and I saw this girl, and I thought, well, maybe she's going to be my wife, and I write more stuff. And I got a bit sidetracked. So don't get sidetracked. Don't add the stuff that's not there. Just stay with the base of what the Lord is telling you. Sometimes easy to get carried away, and you say, thus says the Lord, and then the Lord has stopped speaking. He was just saying something there. But that is precious. That is precious. And yesterday, at a moment like that, just reading and just like, wow, where did that thought come from? Or I didn't think about that specific thing right now. So, okay, Lord, is that something that you are showing me now? Then I'll pray about it. I'll ask the Lord. Sometimes there will be a confirmation. I remember I had a thought like that when we moved here to this church. I just felt in my quiet time, there's a thought that we're going to move. I told Lee, and the next day the leaders of Shofar, they phoned us and said, Yaku, you're going to move. And so that was just precious. Then I know that God prepared me for this. He told us what's going to happen, and He will do it for all of us as we spend time with the Lord. And that's something that in various ways God's going to show us. I think I mentioned it last week, but there's such a lot of prophets these days that say they are prophets, but the stuff that they're saying, it never happens. It's just afterwards they say, "I told you so." But nobody did anything different because they said so. Nobody changed their ways. Nobody stopped what they were going to do. It didn't make any difference. I believe God is showing us things. He's making us to be a blessing, but also to bring light, to be salt, to change things, to make things better, to bring change, that there will be good works and that our Father will be glorified. Not just that we can afterwards say, "Yes, that was one of the things that I wrote in my book 2 years ago. And if you go check this, if I just leave out that and that, then it's actually almost the same as what's happening now." And that's what many guys are doing here. And it's very subtle, but it makes me very angry when I see it. So, as Jesus continues, there's two warnings that stood out for me in this piece. Well, obviously the congratulations, the what's in our being and everything. And then it continues, the end of the Sermon on the Mount, there's a lot of teaching in between. And then Matthew 7:21 said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." And we often read this. I just feel it's important for today, as we want to see Jesus, as we long for Him and to hear from the Lord, that we also read this. "And on that day many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and cast out demons in your name, and do many mighty works in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.' Everyone then who hears the words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who will build his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." And when Jesus finished his sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who having authority, not as their scribes. And just quickly, Jesus had a problem with people just doing stuff in his name, prophesying and doing a lot of things. But when I come to him and say, "Lord, Lord," he said, I didn't know you." And for me, the thing that just spoke to me out of this scripture was, the Lord was never Lord of their lives. They were never really following Him. They just did all the right things. They were just busy. They were just doing these things, and they were going on and doing all the right things. But it was not that they said, "Lord, you are the Lord of my life. You are the one that I live for." And I believe that is something there that Jesus said, "I didn't know you. I didn't know you." And for me also, that speaks, I must look at my motivations, why I'm doing stuff, and not just doing what everybody else is doing and just what's supposed to be the right things. But firstly, look at my relationship with the Lord. Firstly, connect with the Lord. That's more important. I remember we had people in some of our congregations where I will just tell them, just leave everything. Just sit. Just sit in the service. Just stop everything. Because you're running around like crazy, and there's always something going on, and there's always something to check, and there's always going on. I said, just sit. Just hear from the Lord. Because I don't think you're connecting anymore. And as we going forward this year, because it's so important that we just connect with the Lord. Yes, the good works will be there. And yes, I trust that we will do all those things. But firstly, we will connect with the Lord and hear from Him. And And I just want to, yeah, and then it is so precious when it said, when you hear these things and do it, when you hear and do, you'll be like a man that builds his house on a rock. And life can come and the storms can come and you will stand. And when you hear and you don't do, you're like someone that built a house with no foundation. There's no foundation. And then the storms are just going to blow you over. The second thing that stood out for me is later on, when we start reading in Matthew, we see John in the wilderness. He's baptizing the people. He saw Jesus. He baptized Jesus. And later on, we read that John has been put in prison. And then I'm just going to go to Luke. It's the same portion of scripture, but just in Luke. And then the disciples of John reported all these things to him. And John is now in prison. So he's calling two of his disciples to him. He sent them to the Lord saying, are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? This is now John that immediately recognized Jesus at the river. Now he's sending his disciples. He said, are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? And when the men had come to him, to Jesus, they said, John the Baptist has sent us to you saying, are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? In that hour, Jesus healed many people of diseases and plagues and evil spirits, and on many who were blind he bestowed sight. And he answered them, go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive the sight, the lame walk, leopards are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have good news, preach to them. Blessed is the one who is not offended by me. And just that last bit, that blessed is the one who is not offended by me. Because sometimes we won't understand things. Sometimes we don't know why stuff are happening. And offense really is like it's scandalon. It's like the bait in the trap. It's that what they put in the trap, that the animal must take it and then the trap just eat them. And they're caught. That's an offense. Sometimes we won't understand. Maybe there's two. Either John didn't understand why he's in prison. And he said, okay, sure, I'm not so sure anymore. Because now I'm in prison and all these things are happening to me. I'm not sure. You guys, you just go and find out. You're just going to check what this man is doing and come report back. Or he just wants his disciples to go and see for themselves that this is the Lamb of God, this is Jesus. But it's just interesting that Jesus said, blessed is the one who is not offended by me. And that spoke to me. That was the other thing. The one is the Lord, where Jesus said, I do not know you. And the other one is where we might get offended by what's happening. Where we might not understand. We say, Lord, but I'm following you. I'm doing all the right things, and now this, and now this, and I don't understand what's happening in my life. And I just want to say today that just draw closer to the Lord. I pray that God will show you, that He will reveal to you, He will give you answers, He will speak to you in a special way. He will speak to you in a special way. That will make sense. Maybe, yeah, that's my prayer. But maybe it will not make sense. I live with the thing that God is good, and I don't always understand everything. But He's Lord. He's a good God. Sometimes I don't understand everything, but I'm also not generally one that asks a lot of questions, so it's maybe easier for me. But just come to the Lord and say, Lord, you are good. Bring these things before the Lord. And then if there's difficult things, and then maybe there is an offense, maybe there is something that's in our heart, then trust the Lord to deal with those things one by one. Because He will do that. He will show something, He will deal with it. He's not going to do everything at once, and then you struggle to handle everything that's coming your way. He's a good God. And there's a, I'm gonna show you a clip of Bill Hybel. He is sharing about a man that's in his church, or was in his church, and I just want to see something about the something that the man just did. As we spoke about that, and then after that, I will wrap up. Jesus and how awesome Jesus is and everything. But I pray that each one of us, where we meet with the Lord, we will find that blessing that it is. We will connect with the Lord in a special way. And when we hear, when we read, when you sit with the Word, you will hear, you will get something. And then when we hear and we do, our life will be like the man that built his house on a rock. And we will be able to stand, and we're going to see God. We're going to see Him. We're going to see this God manifested through our lives in various ways. Let us, please just stand with me.